Hi, everyone. Welcome to our daily devotionals. Today and tomorrow, we'll be looking at a one-chapter book of the Bible named Jude, or more accurately pronounced, Judah or Judas, which is definitely not meant to be confused with Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. And before we dive into the passage, I just want to share a little bit about Jude. Who was Jude? Well, Jude was one of Jesus' four brothers. And we have to realize that none of the brothers followed Jesus before his death, but afterwards, they saw him alive from the dead and then became his disciples, and they became leaders and missionaries in the first Jewish Christian communities. Jude was known as a traveling teacher and missionary, and as he was ministering and serving, he came to realize that there was something going on in this church that he was writing to. We don't know which specific church community he wrote to, but it was most likely written to a Christ-believing Jewish community. His writing assumes a very deep knowledge of the Hebrew scriptures as well as other popular Jewish literature, and so these are most likely Jews who believed in Jesus. And Jude had become aware of a crisis concerning this church. And so let's take a look at the first 16 verses together to see what Jude writes about concerning this crisis in the church. Verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual morality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet, in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves. Waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones, to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds, of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage." Ah, wow. There is a lot going on in this church, and Jude has become aware of this crisis concerning the church, namely that there have been false teachers entering into the church community and leading many astray from Christ. They were distorting God's grace as a license to sin, and they rejected the authority of Jesus. And Jude reminds the church that there is a divine justice that will surely occur to those who rebel against God's authority and dwell in unrepentant sin. And so he gives three Old Testament examples as a reminder of what God is going to do to those who teach falsely and dwell in sensuality and live in disobedience and rebellion. The first example is of Israel's wilderness rebellion from Numbers 14. It's interesting how he says that Jesus will enact this justice, just as he did when he saved Israel out of the land of Egypt. Jesus will enact justice. And this shows us that Jesus, in his eternal divine nature, was active in the world from the beginning of creation, long before his incarnation. And so this Jesus who saved Israel out of the land of Egypt also destroyed those who did not believe. The second example is of the rebellious angels from 1 Enoch and Genesis chapter 6. And maybe you're wondering at this point, what is 1 Enoch? It is some of the Hebrew scriptures that have not been part of the biblical canon and the canon of scripture. And but these were Hebrew texts that the Jewish people had also, they also read and they knew very intimately. And so the second example from 1 Enoch and Genesis 6, these are angels who rebelled against God's authority and were kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. And the third example is the men of Sodom and Gomorrah from Genesis 19. These men indulged in sexual morality and pursued unnatural desire. And so we see these three Old Testament examples of how God had poured out his divine justice. It's Israel's wilderness rebellion, it's the rebellious angels, and it's the men of Sodom and Gomorrah who dwelt in sensuality and sexual morality. And just like we see in these three Old Testament examples, these false teachers also lived in rebellion and sin. Verse 8 says that these people, these false teachers who crept into their community, have relied on their own dreams. They defiled the flesh, rejected authority, and blasphemed the glorious ones. He goes on in verse 11 to say that these false teachers are like three other Old Testament examples: Cain from Genesis 4, Balaam from Numbers 22 to 25, and Korah's rebellion from Numbers chapter 16. All three of them were discontent and dissatisfied with life, and so they rebelled against God, acted out in greed by seeking selfish gain at any cost. And Jude is saying that these false teachers are just like them. Verses 12 to 13 continue on to explain that, continue to explain what the false teachers are like. They're deceptive like hidden reefs that will suddenly destroy ships that come too close. They're greedy and selfish like shepherds who feed themselves. They're not useful as they're intended to, like clouds that give no water, trees that bear no fruit, and stars that wander and do not give their light. And they're destructive like wild waves of the sea. In verses 14 to 15, Jude reminds the church about an ancient warning from 1 Enoch chapter 1. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Do you catch that one word that keeps being repeated over and over again in this warning from 1 Enoch? This repeated word is ungodly, ungodliness, ungodly. And this warning is talking about how these false teachers are like these ungodly sinners who have committed ungodly deeds. God is going to pour out his judgment upon those who are ungodly. The end is near. The Lord is coming to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He speaks out in verse 16 against the grumblers, malcontents, those who follow their own sinful desires, loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. This is the judgment that Jude reminds the church of. Presumably, the false teachers would have heard this letter as well, rebuking them. But Jude also wrote this letter to warn the church of these wolves in sheep's clothing. Do not follow their teachings. Do not rebel against God's authority and dwell in unrepentant sin. Don't dwell in ungodliness and sexual morality. Receive these words of warning and turn to the Lord in holy submission, lest you also follow in the footsteps of these false teachers, waiting to receive the promised judgment from the Lord, as many before us have. This is a warning for us today. There are some human false teachers who creep into our communities, and we need to always be on guard and test everything with the truth of God's word. In Acts, we read about the Bereans who test everything with God's word. Let's be like the Bereans. But also, there are some things that perhaps the enemy, Satan, is trying to speak lies into our minds, these false teachings according to Satan. And we need to learn to combat those things with the truth of God's word as well. And so all in all, let's receive these words and turn to the Lord and wholly submit to God's word. Let's remain true to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today and the first 16 verses of June. And God, we want to receive this warning just as the church did then. Help us, Lord, to be aware of perhaps the false teachings that we have heard or maybe have heard secondhand. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to not be so easily swayed by these false teachings. Help us to stand firm upon the foundation, upon the rock of Christ and his word. Help us, Lord, to test everything like the Bereans did with your word. And I pray that we would come to know, Lord, what is truth and what it looks like to live a godly life according to your word. We want to hear your word and we want to heed it. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to also know and to discern what is true and what is false, that we might stand upon the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, and we ask God for the help of your spirit to do this today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us, and I hope you continue to stand firm upon Christ's teachings and his word. Let's be aware of the false teachings that may creep into our lives and our minds. Let's turn to the Lord today. Have a great day.